This has been an interesting time, but as we look ahead by faith, I stop and I think about the local church. That's exactly where we're going to be looking at, Lord willing, including this morning. We're going to be going to the next 3 Sundays. Let's pray and let's ask God to speak to us. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You would now work through Your Word. We're so thankful for what we have in You. We're thankful more than anything else for a salvation that has grown more precious, for a local church that has grown more precious, and yes, for freedom that has grown not only more precious, but also more fragile. But we know that You rule over all. I pray that You'd speak to us, that Your Spirit would now take man, take flesh, make it fade into the background as You speak to us by Your Word. I pray in Christ's name and for His glory and His glory alone. Amen. Do you remember back at the beginning of the year when we went to the book of Esther? And we took as our theme for this year, for such a time as this. That seems like an eternity ago all of a sudden. It just does. But in thinking about that, as I sought the Lord's will in this message, I got to thinking about this. We're a people of catchphrases, idioms, axioms, expressions. We are. We like them. Advertisers know this. If they can get people repeating an expression, a slogan, something from a commercial, they know they've hit a phrase, the jackpot. For instance, and some of us will show our age in this, Hallmark cards. When you care enough to send the... That goes from 1934. How about this? Wheaties, breakfast of 1935. Now, I shouldn't say this because it's going to get you hungry. KFC, finger licking. Right, 1952, excuse me. And then there was a rental car company. We try harder. Avis, 1962. Coke, it's the real thing. 7-Up, the un-cola, 1973. Oh, here we go. Burger King, have it? 1973. I choke on this a little bit, but I'm going to go ahead and include this for a certain couple in our church. BMW. The ultimate. He didn't say it loud enough, but that's okay. I gave him an opportunity. 1975. And then this one actually made its way into a presidential campaign. Wendy's, 1984. Where's the? There we go. Now, there's more that I could use, but I've already lost half of you or some of you out there because you're going to wind up thinking about some others. But you know, politicians know the same thing. They do the same thing. For instance, FDR said during World War II, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. Well, we praise God. We have a fear, the fear of God, and with that we have no other fear. Kennedy, President Kennedy, on his inauguration, spoke those immortal words, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. They have so stuck with us. Remember when Reagan ran for 1980? Do you remember, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? And then that led to 4 years later, it's mourning in America. And of course, that phrase that some people love and others they despise, make America great again. We love these kinds of phrases. Just like the marketer that has an agenda behind the expression, there are those who today speak and write catchy phrases. They're selling something too. But it's not soap. Here's two that we've heard lately. Stay home, stay safe. Stay home, stay safe. Then there's one that really gives me concern. The new normal. Now that's actually been used in time past, but it's been recycled for today, and I fear for darker reasons, because in the hands of some, that phrase could simply be descriptive of changes made to our lives due to the results of a natural disaster, war, and yes, even a pandemic. But if it comes from mouths, certain mouths, we get concerned. I get concerned, especially if they are also known to say, never let a crisis go to waste. To some of us, that phrase, the new normal, carries with it demands on Americans to embrace and accept ever-increasing loss of liberty, loss of privacy, more government, more control. The truth is that what is taking place right now has been around before. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, if you would, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. This is not where the majority of the message is coming from, but I wanted to remind us of something that Solomon wrote. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, look at verse 9. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. People say, well, no, there's no way. They didn't have this, they didn't have that, they didn't have this technology, they didn't have that kind of a situation. We're talking about that which is in the human heart. That which is in the culture. Ever since the garden, sin has shown itself in so many different ways. Take slavery. There are those today that they're almost making it seem like slavery has only taken place in America and only starting in 1619. I've got news for them. Slavery has been going on since sin in the garden. It has shown itself in every culture. And yes, there were times when it had to be controlled. But the fact of the matter is, when you have Christ, He sets people free. That's what we rejoice in. But the fact of the matter is, we have an enemy that keeps repeating the same old traps, and humanity has to keep learning the lessons of the past, most of the time, the hard way. We read about them in Scripture. They go over and over and over again. But again, you know, there's that phrase that we've heard, at least we should have, so many times in our lives. The one principle, the one thing that we learn from history is that we what? Don't learn from history. Exactly. Exactly. I want to remind us of four things. And I believe these are very important. We can hear about the new normal. Listen, there are four things that have not changed. Four things that have not changed, and we need to recognize that they have not changed. No matter how much people talk about the new normal. Number one, the works of the devil. Number two, the wages of sin. Number three, the way of the cross. And number four, the witness of the church. First of all, the works of the devil have not changed. Again, our society, mankind is so predictable. Our enemy is so predictable. From the garden to the time of his ultimate judgment, Satan has the same devices in his toolbox, and he keeps using them Because he knows they work. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Listen, Satan lies. Satan lies. That's the power he has over us. If you have trusted Christ as Savior, you're set free. Well, how come, you know, we have people sinning so much? Because we believe the lies. Not only does Satan lie, his minions lie as well. He's the father of lies. John 8:44. And that battle, our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, the battle that we are in with Satan's lies, has given us what we need. Listen to what Christ prayed for us in John 17, verse 15. He said to his Father, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. That's what his prayer for us is. He has us. We are bought with a price. Now, Father, keep them from the evil. How does that take place? Two verses later, verse 17. Sanctify them, set them apart through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's why when we come to worship, this is the book that we open. It's the Word of God. Nothing more, nothing less. Satan lies. This is God's truth. Not only does he lie, when his lies are believed, Satan enslaves. And sadly, those that fall for that slavery believe, they feel almost like they're being given security. And he tells them, this is for your good. That sound familiar? This is what we need to do for you to keep you safe. He tells that to all that will listen. Remember that. You know, the farther you get away from the gospel of Jesus Christ, the more you see a spirit of Antichrist. One politician said, people come to government to feed their souls. No, I go to Jesus to feed my soul. There is nothing like, you get away from Christ, and this is what you'll start hearing as freedoms slip away. Promises of security and social justice. But without Jesus Christ, you have neither. You will not have them. Satan will use mankind in any way he desires to battle Christ and his gospel. Even though Christ has overcome him, he comes with his lies. You stop and consider this. I honestly didn't think about this until I was working on this message. Maybe I've thought about it in time past. I don't know. But you know something? My Bible, I just read it this last week in my devotions in the book of John, just a couple of days ago. Satan entered in to who? Judas. Let me ask you, do you think Satan was concerned about Judas? He was a patsy. He was a way to get his will done. It mattered nothing to Satan about Judas, what his eternity would be. He only wanted to do everything he could to destroy Christ. It's the same with anybody else that he uses. Remember, we talked about this before, and it's important to remember these things. Remember the seven things that we saw several years ago that Satan wants to steal from us. He still wants to steal our character. You ask King Saul, you ask King David, you ask Lot, you ask Demas. Remember what Christ said to Peter in Luke 22. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to sift you, hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. What did he want to do? What does that mean? He wanted to place trials and difficulties in the life of Peter, so that eventually Peter would quit. He's done. He's over. That's it. He wants to steal. He wants to destroy our character. Secondly, he wants to steal our vision. Often through the Bible, we witness this, as I have gone through this before with us. You see the need, you take the lead. See the need, you take the lead. Proverbs 29 says this, where there is no vision, the people perish. Satan doesn't want God's people to hear God's word, because that's where the vision comes from. But he doesn't want that. He wants people to do that which is right in their own eyes. And from the book of Judges, we remember what happens there. He still wants to steal our praise. He hates glory given to the God of heaven. I love Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Why would Satan hate that so much? Because the Bible tells us this. He said, I want to be like the Most High. That glory he wanted. He doesn't want God to have it. He wants to steal our praise. He wants to steal our love. That's why he keeps shoving the world in front of God's people so much. John told us in 1 John 2, love not the world. Just stop and consider, he's saying. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If he can make our love grow cold by things and situations and circumstances in the world, he can carry us off, and suddenly we're like the person that Peter talks about in 2 Peter. He that lacketh these things, the things that Peter says you need to have in your life, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He wants to steal our love. He wants to steal our faith. Why does he want to do that? Hebrews 11. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, faith, listen, faith leads to faithfulness. And nothing drives Satan more crazy than a faithful believer. An apathetic believer? No problem. A bitter believer? A backslidden believer? I'm all for that, he's saying. But a faithful Christian? Drives him insane. So he wants to steal our faith. And then lastly, he still wants to steal our fear of God. Why? Proverbs 34:9, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. We wind up reading about this much in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Proverbs 15:16, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. So when it comes to the fear of the Lord, he wants to take it. He wants to take it. So the works of the devil have not changed. He will take every opportunity he can, including the situation that we're in right now, and do anything he can, especially those of you that are watching at home. Hey, why don't you turn off the computer and turn on Netflix? He'd be saying something like that. Hell is box office. You know, sin to the max. Whatever it might be. Whatever it might be. The works of the devil have not changed. Secondly, the wages of sin have not changed. That's why we've got to get the gospel out. That's why we have to remember to stay strong in the Lord. Do you remember way back when? You know, 6 months ago. Remember how the stock market was doing? People are buying things, you know, we're doing great. Oh, you know, the politicians are doing what they do. They're always fighting, and it's just, you know, just set them aside. But you know, things were going great. People were loving it then. Today, many of those very same people are terrified. They're terrified. Do you know that the sale of alcohol has gone up 55% from 1 year ago right now? With working from home, a lot of people working from home, 36% of men and 26% of women say they are drinking while they are on the job at home. It just helps to deal with things. When it comes to drugs, I read that the use of drugs is up 36%. And we're talking about this. We're talking about things like Xanax and other things that help people get along. Brad, back door. Then there's child abuse. By the end of March, with much of the country under lockdown, there was a 22% increase in monthly calls from people younger than 18, and half of all incoming contacts were from minors. When it comes to domestic abuse, where this virus came from in China, in that province, domestic violence reports to police more than tripled in that one county alone there in China during the lockdown in February. It went from 47 to 162. 90% were caused by this epidemic. This one really broke my heart. Suicide. Nearly half of Americans report the coronavirus crisis is harming their mental health, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation poll. A federal emergency hotline for people in emotional distress registered a more than 1,000% increase in April compared with the same time last year. Last month, roughly 20,000 people texted that hotline run by the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Service Administration. Online therapy company Talkspace reported a 65% jump in clients since mid-February. Text messages and transcribed therapy sessions collected anonymously by the company show coronavirus-related anxiety dominating patients' concerns. People are afraid, Talkspace co-founder and CEO Oren Frank said. The increasing demand for services, he said, follows almost exactly the geographic march of the virus across the United States. Listen, the wiles of the devil are still growing strong. As he messes with mankind, if mankind doesn't have the answer, mankind responds with anxiety and trying to get something to help them just get through the day. But sadly, the wages of sin continue. If they say no to God and just yes to something that can get them along, Paul talked about in the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Brethren, he said, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross, whose end, those people that are going after the things of the world, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. They're not looking for God. It's what they can get here. The wages of sin do nothing but destroy and decimate mankind. Satan wouldn't have it any other way. But Jesus would. Jesus would. And so that's what brings us to this. The way of the cross has not changed. Go to Matthew 11, if you would please. A very familiar passage. Got to studying this out. Fascinating. previously to what the Lord said in these verses previous, he marks out several cities and he berates them. He addresses with them. They're going after things. They're going after the things of this world. They're going after success. They're going after abundance. And he tells them, bottom line, they will fail. But then at the end of that, he brings one of the greatest invitations in the Bible. And that's verse 28. Come unto me. I love that word, come there. To have Christ look at you and say, come. Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. You know, I love the word rest. That's a good word. That's a good word. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I love that section of Scripture. This is something that as we teach people this and we learn it ourselves, we renew it in our hearts, we also need to remind them. And some people take this next passage, go to Mark chapter 8, they take this next passage and it's like, boy, this is cruel. No, it is not. It is not. Because in obeying it, you're going to Christ. You're finding His rest. But look at Mark chapter 8, look at verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. What does that mean? It means you set aside your yoke, you take up his. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself utterly, and take up his cross, and follow me. It's the living sacrifice. For whosoever, listen, these are kind words. These are words of warning. But if you embrace them, they're words of life eternal. For whosoever will save his life, he'll lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? We have people out there that have lost billions. I know they still have billions left, but one day they're going to lose everything if they don't have Christ. And that's why these are words of great encouragement and comfort. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Come, come to me. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We know, we talked about this before. We prayed that during this time, and I don't know what has happened to people out there. There have been some, praise God, that we've been able to talk to. We don't know what's happened with a lot of people. But we prayed this, that this time would help people stop and consider, where am I going to go when I die? You know, be it into a hospital. Praise God for the testimony that Dave Green was there. You know, the doctors and the nurses telling him, you were a dead man. He says, hey, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Praise God for that. They're getting phone calls from staff people and seeing how he's doing. They know his testimony. Whosoever, therefore, shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. And that's exactly what this is. Of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Folks, one day Jesus is going to return. He's coming back. He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. We praise God. We rejoice in that. But still, there are people that say no. Part of the reason why, maybe, is they would say this, you know, but wait a minute, this is all I know. This is all I know. No, Christian. It's not all you know. It's not all you know. John 14. You have been told, I have been told, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there who? Ye may be also. We know another place. We are citizens of heaven. The way of the cross has not changed. It has not changed for the believer. It's not changed for the person that is seeking the Lord. Come unto me. Come unto me. This world, with all its glamour, all its beauty, is still stained by sin. I keep telling my wife, I need a bigger television. Because I like getting on those programs where, you know, they're traveling through the, you know, the national parks and stuff. I got to get in it. I need to have one of those circular televisions. Yeah, it's like, you know, I'm just right there, you know. Wow, look at, you know. Boy, we had wanted to go see some places, and I, you know, that's neither here nor there right now. But do you think there's a possibility that heaven is going to be even greater than this? Absolutely. The Bible tells us, Paul told us in Romans 8, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. I got to thinking about the redemption of this body this morning as I was working on getting up. How many of you are like that? Praise God, I'm going to get a new body. I rejoice in that. Thank you, Lord. And that brings us to this. It brings us to the local church. You see, the testimony of the gospel has not changed, which means the witness of the church has not changed. We need to start thinking about ourselves, all of us, as local church members again. You know, well, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I need to stay with my notes. We are looking at those who have forgotten we are citizens. We're looking at people that say, you know, they've forgotten what Christians are. They never learned it. Maybe they have seen other churches and thinking, boy, this is just entertainment. No. We are not subjects. We're citizens, and we are telling them we ought to obey God rather than man. And the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Again, we here can remind ourselves that our theme from God's Word speaks volumes. Still, in that phrase penned by Mordecai to Esther, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? I had no idea. 6 months ago, 7 months ago, whatever it was, meditating on that phrase for the year 2020 and thinking about now what we are in. This time such as this. Listen, as I prepare to go to next Sunday, please hear me out of this. Nothing takes the place of the physical gathering of the local church. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast our profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised. By the way, I praise God we have a faithful Creator. I rejoice in that. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And the day is approaching. The day is approaching. So nothing takes the place of the gathering of the local church. Nothing takes the place of the testimony. We need to think locally. We need to think this area of the Sacramento County. Nothing takes place of the testimony of the local church. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. We desire to come back together again, not to defy, but for the glory of God. Give not offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. And that comes by the people gathering and then going. People have been saying this, well, you know, the church is not a structure, and it is not. But this is the place where this local church gathers. I tell you what, I pray for every local Bible-preaching local church in the Sacramento County. Pray for it. I know what's happening. And by the way, over 3,000 are saying, enough. Enough. Amen. This is it. If you can go into Walmart, if you can go into Home Depot, if you can go into a liquor store or a pot shop, you can come in and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. Nothing takes the place of the structure of the local church. And that's what takes place here. Ephesians 2. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together. I love that phrase. Fitly framed. Fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Now please think about that. I don't have time to go into it right now. We will later. But stop and consider this. It's not the cinder block and the woodwork. It's us, holy, coming together. We are a functioning local body of believers. We have a structure. We have an outreach. We have a reason for being here. We are not entertainment, Governor. We're not. This is so much more. And by the way, just in case you're listening, you can come visit us anytime. In fact, we would welcome you. Absolutely. No one takes the place of the Lord of this house. No king, no president, no governor, no mayor. Hebrews 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. Who is honored here? Jesus Christ. I'm an under-shepherd. I am a servant. We are all servants. He is the chief shepherd. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house. That's us, folks. That's us. Whose house are we? if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. So really, in closing, maybe there is a new normal, but not one that the world tries to dictate to us. One that the Lord speaks to us about. It's called revival. It's living by the power of the Holy Spirit. We absolutely, positively need a renewed vision of our God. We need, folks, a renewed vision. This time ought to have taught us we need a renewed vision as children of God and of a local assembly. Let that sink in. The importance of this place. No more apathy for the place of the local church. Instead, a passion for that. You know, I started to make mention of something a little while ago, and I stopped myself. And I've told you all that the governor made mention of this to a pastor of a mega church down in Southern California, that churches are no different than an NBA game or a concert. They're entertainment. Now, I got angry when I heard that. But you know, I also thought about this. Maybe there are certain churches that the governor has tuned into, and that's exactly the idea that he got. It was entertainment. It was fun time. It wasn't true biblical worship. We're only one church out of hundreds in this area. But if it was up to us, Christ in us, to teach, to show, to display to the county, Sacramento County, what a local church is all about, then we need to renew our vision to it. And we're going to start that next Sunday. We're going to start speaking again. What is the culture of a true, local, New Testament, Bible preaching, Bible believing, gospel sharing church? That's exactly where we're going. It's time to renew the view. God has given us a great opportunity. Let's not lose it. For those of you that have been watching, if you're part of Faith Baptist, we miss you. We can't wait for you to be here. We understand. Some of you are still not going to be able to come. We understand that. But for those of you that are contemplating coming, we'll be talking tonight, Zoom meeting, 6 o'clock. Brethren, let's renew this, the view of the local church in our hearts. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, I encourage you to do this. Go to myfbt.org. There you'll find a link how you can know that if you died right now, you'd go to heaven. I hope and pray you look that up. Give us a call. Send us an email. We love you. We're praying that God continue to work in this time. Let's pray.